in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode number 182 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, not sounding quite so distant this week, and Sean Orford. How are you?
I'm very good. You're looking better on the scale this
week. Yeah, that's a nice looking set of sound waves, isn't it?
You're looking bigger than me, though.
You think?
I don't know.
Is this your ego coming into play here?
Definitely.
You want a bigger...
I want a bigger one.
Bigger sound wave than mine.
Yeah.
Little clue to what we're talking about there, folks. Ego is the topic of the day today.
Yep.
Yeah, a little apologies for last week. I think the one of the settings on the mic, or maybe a cable, wasn't quite incorrect, but I sounded a bit tinny and distant.
Maybe that's as it should be.
Yeah, maybe it's because I was standing
my ego's that big.
On the other side of the room from you. That could have been it. But yeah, we are looking good this week. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Check us out if you're new to the show. Loads of stuff on there. There's a blog post to accompany this podcast that Sean's written, and all previous podcasts are all backed up and there
and blogs.
For your listening pleasure, and blogs as well.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff there. If you stick your email address in the box, we'll send you some free meditation files, and you'll get weekly alerts sent to you, so you'll never miss a show. No excuses. Ain't that good, eh?
Brilliant. Absolutely stunning.
How you doing? You okay? You had a good week?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I've just come back from doing a wee conference for one of the American corps.
Okay.
Yeah, which was good. Held in a nice amazing castle in the middle of Cheshire.
Ah, yeah,
which is really, really good.
I saw your photo.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's a cool little gig. So they had like an overnight stay there?
Some people did, yeah, because they've had people come from all over bits of Britain.
And what was your... What were you there to discuss?
It's a safety issue. I was talking about issues in mobile phones. We ought to do a podcast on mobile phones, on how dangerous they are. When you talk to people at A&E, the amount of people that they see... because they've been in an accident, they've been hit by a car because they were on a mobile phone, or they hit somebody with their car because they were on their mobile phone, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But scarily, in Britain, currently, over 52% of people admit to using their phone at some point.
As you're picking it up. Not just in general.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, whilst driving, yeah.
It's a lot higher in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually putting the phone to their ear and whilst they're driving.
What do you like? Be honest.
No, I don't do that at all. I have a hands-free. But a lot of the research is saying that you should get in the car and turn your phone off and not do hands-free even.
Yep. I mean, yeah, I certainly don't take calls when I'm driving. Every now and again I might try and swipe and get it on the speakerphone, I must admit. Mm. Certainly don't text. I mean, I cycle a lot, so I do kind of see people on their phones mucking around and, you know, one false move with a cyclist and it's game over.
One of the scary stats is one in five people admit to surfing while they're driving.
Surfing the web, not just surfing.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen surfboards on top of cars, but yeah.
Yeah, surfing the web. Amazing.
That's crackers. I mean, if you're stuck in traffic, or if you are, I hate that. I'm trying to get rid of that term, stuck in traffic, because you're not stuck in traffic.
No.
You are traffic. Right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
If you weren't there, there wouldn't be a traffic jam.
Traffic, be stuck in.
But no, yeah, maybe if you're in a massive tailback,
yep,
you can get your phone out and check the news. If you're stationary, you're not moving. At the lights, are you allowed to do that?
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, if you're not moving.
If you're technically, it's probably illegal still, but...
I think it's okay if you're not moving.
Really?
I think that's the thing. But as soon as you move. But I don't know, you need to check that with the police.
Yeah, don't take our word for it on this folks.
No.
Yeah,
I'm not taking responsibility for that one.
Certainly not. Anyway, it's health and safety stuff. Cool.
Yep.
Oh, I had a good little weekend too. Lots of big news going on in my farm at the moment. Getting to know my little nephew.
All right. Good.
3 weeks old now. And brother's engaged recently, which I don't know if I mentioned that. So we had a little soiree for him and his fiancée.
Yeah, that's good.
It's all good.
That's good.
So, yeah, it's exciting times, man. But... quick mention before we go into the show about our partnership with 123 Friday. If you go to liveinthepresent.co.uk/123, you'll see some information about an app, a backup app, which will save all the photos, videos and contacts from your phone for just £10 a year. And the nice thing about it is that if you sign up to it, we get a pound for every sign up. How about that? Not too shabby.
And everybody that signs up, once you've signed up, you get a pound.
Yeah, so you can then sell it on to your friends and family and anyone else you may know. And
it's pyramid selling, this is.
It is, yeah. But it's you get actually get a decent product for your dosh as well. So
very good.
Yeah, that's probably a nicer term.
Very good.
Yeah. Anyway, should we crack on with the show?
Yeah, why not?
So this is one that we've had in our little bank of ideas to talk about for a while, actually. We're talking about ego. And I want to start by just kind of clarifying a thing or two about is ego good or bad? Because generally, maybe more so for British people, to see an egotistical person has quite negative connotations, does it not?
We're not good at it, are we?
No. So what do you reckon?
It's the concept of self-promotion. If I say that I love me, in lots of societies, that'd be seen as a positive thing. In a lot of British society, that can be seen as a negative thing. Oh, you're arrogant, or you're up your own backside kind of attitude.
Yeah.
As opposed to thinking, you know, that could actually be a positive way to be. Mm-hmm. We know so much in medicine and neuropsychology that when you have positive self-esteem, you heal quicker.
Yep.
Yeah, you do all kinds of things easier and better that you don't happen when you're in negative states.
When you have a positive view of yourself.
Yeah.
I guess what the issue comes with ego is that the people in public life who are egotistical, generally we're not too happy with. I mean, if you look back in history, certainly like certain dictators, or even, you know, now crazy political life. Trump is a certain one you may look at. He's obviously got a huge ego.
Yeah.
I think he recently been collaring New York Times reporters for using unfavourable photos of him, you know, with his double chin. I don't think there's any angle that you can look at Donald Trump from, physically speaking, where he looks that great. But he obviously looks in the mirror each morning and thinks, looking good.
I'm a god.
Yeah, which is a powerful thing, right? I mean, he's...
The way I see it is that when we do the self-discovery courses, I define these two words at the beginning. If I use the word ego, I mean the way that I see me.
Yeah.
And if I use the word personality, I mean the way you see me. So the thing I always say at the outset, so people get the message, is if I say that I see myself as 6'6", bronzed and muscular, and everybody bursts out laughing, because if that's my ego image, my personality image then might be, do you think I'm 6'6", bronzed and muscular? As opposed to 5'6".
You're 5'6", are you?
If I breathe in hard. And my hair's kind of white, greyish, you know. And
Specky, you've got four eyes.
I have an intelligent face, that's quite true. But the thing is that when I look in the mirror, see, I see a Greek god.
Yep.
I think, wow. Now, I assume that when Trumpy looks in the mirror and he does his hair, he must use hairspray or something to keep it all in place.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of theories going on about how he achieves that.
He must be thinking, wow, look at me. Yeah, because that's the way that perhaps he sees himself and presents himself.
Yeah.
I think he should put his hairdresser on danger money, really. But it's a thing, isn't it, about how do I see me? But the difference is, I guess, is I can see myself with positive self-esteem, but then give that esteem to others, so I see other people as equal to myself.
Yeah, well, this is what we need to get onto, then. It's how you use your ego, then. It's whether you want to kind of control people and kind of squash them under your...
Maybe an ego is a tool like a knife. Uh-huh. You can either create art or you can kill people. What do you want to do?
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah, you can cook dinner, make a...
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tool, hey, isn't it? What's going on? You're looking at someone down there.
Yeah, no, I'm just fascinated by this office that we're in, because you can see into everybody else's office. So
yeah, you'd like it here, wouldn't you? Watching everyone go on.
Peeping Tom's paradise, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a few opposite, just so I can fill you in views if you look at... Well, if you go on my Instagram feed, instagram.com/EdwardLamb, I think there's a couple of shots of the office, so you can kind of get an idea of where we're looking out on today. But yeah, the opposite of us as a company, it's all open plan, glass all along it, so you can see everyone in how they're doing. And there's a few interesting egos in there, actually, that I kind of keep an eye on through the day.
Yeah.
Strutting around, you know, kind of... I know, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. They're obviously there, the characters of that office, and without them, it would be probably a much duller place to work.
I think that the thing isn't, am I an egotist or not an egotist? The issue is, what do I do with it? Am I a benevolent egotist?
Yeah.
And if I need to be eager, it's like I need recognition, you know. So there are some people can make you a cup of tea and you can go, oh, thanks. And other people need you to go, oh, that was the most wonderful cup of tea I ever had. They need that kind of reinforcement to feel special and important.
Yeah.
But usually those people that have those kinds of egos are quite damaged. So that if you think about people coming into a room, the people that are confident come in quietly, say, hiya, and go on with themselves in the corner. They don't need that kind of tell me I'm wonderful stuff. The egotists come in and go, I'm here, hello, woo.
Look at me.
So, so that everybody gives them attention, then they know they're all right.
Right.
Yeah. So that to be an egotist very often means to be quite damaged.
I was going to say, so I don't want to focus on the guy too much, but you got this Trump fella. When you look at someone like that, or him in particular, what can you see in his history or is his past that's kind of created this person that is very controlling? And
if you think about natural human drive,
he's untrustworthy. I mean, he doesn't trust other people and he doesn't have any sense of wanting to learn and, like, change his opinions.
But if he's right, why would he need to learn anything?
Mm-hmm. You know? But he changes his mind on things a lot as well.
But that's because he was right to change his mind. that's the point about me and Inks, is that, like, I'm always right.
Yeah.
I am right.
So what do you think, for example, the relationship with his parents will have been?
Whatever's happened to him, there's been a level of insecurity created for him to need to build this structure around him. In a natural situation, we all need to be fed, we need to be safe, we need to be warm, we need to be clothed. Actually, we only need one house, one nest. Maybe if you've got a bit of dosh, you might want a second nest, I guess, somewhere to go on holiday.
Yep.
When you start to get to the point where you need to have lots of houses and lots of buildings and lots of things with your name on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, St. Michael.
And gold toilets.
He's on the back of everybody's knickers, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, or okay.
Marks and Spencer's, you know. It's like, how many times do you have to see your name written on something?
Mm.
Yeah, ownership, brand, me, look me. What's that about? As opposed to someone like, my favourite big egotist is actually Mother Teresa, and people say, what do you mean? But that woman had power, and ego means power in so many situations, which is what Trump has got. But when Mother Teresa wanted something done, she would move other people to do it. And the Band-Aid thing was something to do with her as well, with the conversation she had with Geldof.
Yeah.
You know, so like Geldof, who must have had, or has, a reasonable size ego to get him where he's got, has actually used his ego power for the good of others. Yeah, well, Mother Teresa was doing that, wasn't she? So she looked after the whole of Calcutta. All the poor of Calcutta were her. She included them in her ego bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas lots of people's ego bubbles hold the things that they own. And that might mean possessions. It might mean, obviously, their own body and their clothes and their money. And it might include other people. They may actually want to own other people as well.
Right.
And so that you become me. When I say jump, you say how high.
Mm-hmm.
Which is egotism. And I think that the issue that we have to be aware of is that an egotist is someone who uses this power of themselves out the front. So it gets in the way. It gets in the way. People that have their ego out the front who are egotists tend to be people that cause confrontation, they cause energetic explosions, they become volatile, they get up people's noses, they create conflict. Yeah, someone has their ego around the back and is using it as a power pack to drive them forward, becomes an effective, creative human being. So like Mother Teresa has got her ego around the back and is using that to drive her forward. Someone like Trump has got his ego out the front, which is actually pushing people away.
Okay.
Yeah, same energy, different place and different way that it's directed.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching a documentary. Actually, I've watched a couple recently about music-related documentaries. One about Rolling Stones, a recent tour they did in South America, which was cool, the power they have, man, just people.
Yeah.
And then I watched another one about Freddie Mercury and about the Live Aid gig from 86. Mm. They're like on stage, the presence that someone like that or Mick Jagger can have,
mm-hmm.
to just have every, like, whatever, 100,000 people in front of you and just all singing to the same tune and just, like, worshipping. It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the power of ego can be an amazing thing.
Yeah. But then it's what do you do with this stuff? I mean, one of the things about someone like Cliff Richard, I can remember an interview with him years ago, and people were saying to him, why don't you, you know, have this charity and do that and do the other? And he said that he followed a biblical model where he donated a percentage of his income every year to charity. But he did it quietly. He didn't need the ego accolade of proving to everybody what he'd done. He just did it.
Sure.
You know, and I think that's quite important too, is that in our society, especially with things like Facebook, social media, we have this need to continually tell the world about what we're doing and who we are.
Yeah, so I was this is on my notes today, talking about how the web and the generation below me, really, that's kind of grown up with it, and it's just a part of how they work, and whether it's a good or a bad thing, that people generally of a certain age now are more egotistical, and whether that's a positive or a negative thing, because we're all trying to create this perfect online version of ourselves, aren't we? Maybe with a Snapchat channel and are telling our stories each day, or an Instagram story. We've talked in the past about whether that's a positive or a negative thing. I'm still undecided, really. But generally, you know, I look at my kids, who I'm running this little experiment on at the moment, as they grow up. And, for example, at the moment, we're getting towards Christmas, so Will is participating in a nativity play at church. He's Joseph, so he's only got one line to say. It's quite a simple little line, but he's quite a shy little chap, Will. When he gets to know you, he's really chatty and he won't stop talking. But we're obviously trying to encourage that egotistical side of him. So on the day, he says his line in front of all the people in the church and all the friends and family and all that. And it's quite funny watching how he develops that side of himself.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun to see in 10 years where he is, you know, whether he's confident enough to go in front of people and talk like we do now on this podcast, and when I do what you did this morning at as part of your work, or when I go networking, I have to go and meet people and be on it instantly, you know?
Yep. But it's that thing about, if you've got enough self-esteem to be able to get up in front of other people, maybe even make a fool of yourself without being embarrassed, you know, I think that when you can do that and you can just flow freely, then your ego's intact. If you're the kind of person who needs to be told again and again and again how wonderful you are, you've got ego problems. And if you're somebody who can't get up on the stage and is very anxious, then you have ego problems.
Yeah.
One is kind of a overextended ego, and one is kind of underextended ego. But in that dynamic place in the middle, we all have a place on the stage.
Yep.
And we need to be able to stand there and do it and not be embarrassed about who we are. I always laugh at the way that we are in Britain about things like bodies and nudity, because we're dead embarrassed about bodies, and which is a very egotistical thing, isn't it? It's like, if my body isn't perfect, I can't show it to the world. But maybe everybody's body is perfect, if we see it that way, rather than it having to be a kind of a stereotype.
And
what's the matter with being naked? That's the way we were born, you know?
Yep.
That kind of stuff to me. So it's like, to be a balanced ego is someone who can actually do dynamically what needs to be done and not be embarrassed about it, whatever the it is, but also not to demand all this recognition for having done it.
Yeah.
You know, people that get guru-itis driving around the bend, you know, like gurus and disciples, they're like, forget it, we're all in this together.
Right.
You know, none of us are better than anyone else. You know?
Do you think we are? There's an article I'm going to link to as part of my resource of the week, which has a little statement early on saying that we are all born without an ego. Would you reckon to that one?
Well, I think that's a kind of, it depends, because people mean different things by the word ego, which is one of the problems that you've got. I think genetically we're all born with certain kind of predispositions. I think that's where we start. If you look at an ego in terms of either self-esteem or as in deprivation, so people that are loud, usually allow because they didn't get their needs met when they were younger.
Yeah.
So they had to shout louder to get them, and they're still shouting louder. And you can see it when people cry. People that cry quietly aren't holding in, they're just crying. The people that cry loudly and whoop and wail are the ones that needed to demand and demonstrate to get their needs met.
Yeah.
And they're still doing it as adults.
Okay. So in terms of developing someone's ego, let's say you must deal with a lot of people who have or need help developing their ego and trying to build that confidence to get involved more in the world. Assuming that's what people need to do. Where do you start with folks?
Well, in most cases, when people have that kind of deprivation of self, it's to do with the confusion between assertion and aggression. Every time they assert themselves, they confuse it with aggression. So it's assertiveness training, being able to state what you want and being able to state what you don't want and be able to achieve that, is something that everybody has the right to do. But people feel a bit embarrassed or withdrawn from doing.
Mm-hmm.
So by doing some assertiveness training and doing some scripting sometimes where people have to learn to say certain things, you can get them to develop more self-esteem.
Yeah.
That way.
Just habits.
Yeah. Changing the habits now. And it's our good old friend 30 days and 90 days to get it done.
Yeah.
You know.
And have you got any good, well, you must do case studies of people that you've seen over the years that have...
Loads of people come out of their shell. Yeah, yeah.
And the...
Yeah. People that have started off being quite diminutive, and in the end they've actually achieved what they wanted. I can remember one lady I worked with, and she'd been with a very repressed partner for years, and they finally parted company. And when the penny dropped for her, and she actually sort of claimed herself, it was like someone had lit her touch paper, you know, like the touch paper in Stanwell back, because she went off like a rocket. Woof, and boy, was she successful.
Really?
And she'd been repressed for like 35 years, something like that.
Wow. So it's never too late as well?
No.
Never too late?
No. But the greatest thing is insight. You know, mindfulness. If you can start to observe what you're doing and why you're doing it, and then if you've got those kind of deficits, if you can identify where they came from, you know, where did I inherit this stuff from? If you can see the maybe incidents or actually the people that gave it to you,
yep.
Then you start to be able to change much quicker.
Okay.
You know. Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to discuss?
No.
Should we dive into our resource of the week?
I've got a weird resource here. This is the serenity prayer that people use... usually in addictive things, but I think that when you take into account what this says, it starts off with God, that's in brackets for me. God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And what that's talking about is, give me the ability to develop the insight to understand myself, to change the things that I can change, which is that you know, it might be self-esteem, changing your situation, your job, whatever it is, but also having the realistic understanding of the things that I can't change.
Yep.
You know, I cannot change the way that this country is run. I can change the way that I run myself, and I can change my relationships with people around me, and maybe they change their relationships with people around them.
Yeah.
But it's like there are limits to what I have. You know, my ego has a limit. I can't change the world. I'm not the Messiah.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Serenity prayer. Lovely. I've got a link to a blog post on neurosemantics.com. It's titled Supercharge Your Ego Strength. It's worth having a read. Interesting one. Quite in depth. It comes at it quite from a business perspective, and I think it's got a few mentions of like NLP in there as well, which I've kind of seen on my travels as a local businessman and what have you. So it's about encouraging, you know, self-employed people to kind of step up and build your confidence. But
there's a lot of good stuff in NLP, which is good with sales and stuff like that, and with communication, because you learn a lot about interaction between people. That's good stuff. That's
okay,
good stuff.
Cool. Yeah. Check it out, livingthepresent.co.uk, and have a look around there. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, of course. We're building our Living the Present ego day by day, week by week, aren't we?
We are.
We're getting there.
We think we'll end up with a big ego, do you think?
Do you think so? we won't forget our roots, will we?
It'll be a benign, cuddly ego.
Yeah. Check out all those things, visit the website, have a look at 123 Friday if you can, if you'd like to support the show, and take care till next week when we'll be talking about, I've forgotten, what is it, we've got it written down somewhere, can you remember?
Can't remember, can you?
No, my memory. I need, we should do a memory.
I don't know what's the matter with you. We're obviously talking about...
is your digital memory kicking in?
Yeah, hang on.
Get the right app going, Sean.
Here we are.
Oh, notes.
Here we are. Information overload. That was the problem.
See, I've got so much going
there
on in my head. I couldn't remember we were talking about information overload.
Yeah?
Yeah, brilliant. No, I'm looking forward to that one, actually. So, yeah, stand by. And if there's anything else you'd like us to talk about, drop us an email via the website, Twitter or Facebook, and we'll stick it in the list.
And if you don't overload yourself with information, your record will be just like that.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, Sean, you have a good week.
And you. Take care.
See you later. Bye.